When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello! My name is Thomas Dinas, and this is the Delicious Legacy Podcast. Welcome back for another archaeogastronomical adventure. And this time, we'll dive in to the crazy world of food as medicine and medicinal food and the use of food as actual treatment for ailments. And we're going to see specifically one very curious thing. Sometimes, when Sunday came, he took a string of sausages and wore them as a deacon's stall. In his left hand he held a pot of mustard, and he dipped the sausages in, and ate them from morning on. And he smeared mustard on the mouths of some of those who came to joke with him. Wherefore, a certain rustic, who had leucoma in his two eyes, came to make fun of him. Simeon anointed his eyes with mustard. The man was nearly burned to death, and Simeon said to him, "Go wash, you idiot, with vinegar and garlic, and you will be healed immediately." As it seemed a better thing to do, he ran immediately to a doctor instead and was completely blinded. Finally, in a mad rage, he swore in Syriac, "By the God of heaven, even if my two eyes should suddenly leap from the sockets, I will do whatever the fool told me." And he washed himself as Simeon told him. Immediately his eyes were healed, and clear as when he was born, so that he honored God. Then the fool came upon him and said to him, "Behold, you are healed, idiot. Never again steal your neighbor's goats." This is the writing about Simeon the Holy Fool, a hermit and a monk of Edessa in modern Turkey, and these words are by Leontios, the bishop of Neapolis, which is the modern city of Limassol in Cyprus, on the 7th century of our common era, writing about Simeon the Holy Fool. What this text tells us is very, very enlightening. Obviously, aside of the healing power of faith and the belief that Christ can cure you through the power of saints, this specific text performs another important role. We see the salient properties of food as medicine, as healing element, as the medium through which citizens, even of a modest or very poor background, can achieve a healthy and balanced diet and a healthy lifestyle. Which we can say that it was of equal importance then as it is now, if we go by judging the number of medical texts that have been written over the course of the first millennium of our common era. The food as medicine in the ancient and medieval world is a massive subject, which I cannot cover in one episode. Plus, I do not have the expertise to go into detail about it, about everything spanning a period of time, perhaps 2,000 years or so. Instead, I wanted to focus on one amusing, in one respect, and curious in another, ingredient. An ingredient that was used to cure ailments or Alternatively, it was used as an ointment and even as a dressing for aching members of one's body. An ingredient which was extremely popular as food, and it used to be cured, salted, smoked, and turned into sausages, and generally considered an all-around food for all social levels and castes and classes, from the poorest farmers to the most Lucullian and excessive Roman emperors. This is the pork. And, of course, another curious thing with a pig as a medicine trope is this, that this marks a clear distinction between our Christian West, what we call Christian West, and the Jewish and Muslim worlds in the Middle East. As obvious, the pig is considered a dirty animal, unclean, and not fit to be consumed by humans. So we see a very clear divide then formed. But also what is surprising is that we do use phrases that have connotation of how dirty or just how messy the pig is. So you can imagine my surprise reading how differently our ancestors viewed the actual pork meat. Pig and pork meat in the many forms and guises that they come, as ham, bacon, in a stock, or as pig trotters, all was used in one way or another. And sometimes the medical advice of one doctor contradicted the medical advice of another. Of course, at the same time, we'll see cases that the actual consumption of pork caused illnesses and deaths and poisonings and other problems, and that led to measures for stricter food hygiene to take place. Salted meat in Greek was called tarikos. This term was also used for other products preserved in brine, like fish or vegetables. The physicians Galen and Oribasius wrote that meat that came from fattened mature pigs was the best for salting. The physicians above, as well as Aesius of Amida, claimed that one of the most important features of meat was moisture, because when an animal was old, its flesh became tough and indigestible. On the other hand, large amounts of moisture in tender meat of young pigs were reduced, owing to the drying properties of salt, so the product decreased in volume. According to medical sources, well-selected salted meat was of the same as the fresh one, and in many respects it was even more valuable. And of course, aside from valuable, it was very important for health and a balanced diet. For example, it was believed that this sort of tarichos, regardless of the species of the animal, diluted thick and sticky humors. Although Greek and Byzantine physicians warned that salted meat caused production of black bile and could trigger fevers, especially after big physical effort, such as long journeys, it was considered to be a healthy element of a diet. Pork was valued for its dietetic properties. Now, here we'll make a nice big parenthesis, because we will need to talk about the humors. What are the humors of the human body? It was a theory that lasted for at least 1,000 years in the ancient world, so it was very important in ancient Greece and became very prevalent in medieval Europe. So throughout the Western Europe and Byzantine Empire too. So the theory of maintaining or regaining one's health through a lifestyle of moderation and balance was called dietetics. More than in our days, diet played a role in preventing and curing diseases. And in fact, it was one of the main areas of study at medieval medical schools. Not surprisingly, foodstuffs and disease were seen in much the same way as simple and compound drugs, and like them were classified in accordance with the theory of the four humors, by which was meant a theory of the four bodily fluids. To find out the history of this early scientific, let's say, theory, we must go back to the 6th century BC, to Greek philosophers such as Anaximenes, Heraclitus, and Thales. In their attempt to find answers to the question of what the basis was of all life, they came up with various elements, including air, fire and water. By the 5th century BC, Empedocles postulated that there were four basic elements, fire, water, air and earth, and four basic colors. And his contemporary Zeno spoke of four qualities, hot, cold, wet and dry. It was Hippocrates, the famous Greek physician, and his followers, who around 400 BCE added to the four qualities of Zeno the four bodily fluids, blood, phlegm, black bile and yellow bile, and formulated a prototype of what came to be known as the humoral theory. Blood was aligned with the basic qualities, hot and wet, and the season spring. Yellow bile with hot and dry and summer. Black bile with cold and dry and autumn. And phlegm with cold and wet and winter. In time, the four main organs of the body, heart, liver, spleen and brain, and the four stages of life, childhood, adolescence, adulthood and old age, were added to the system. And fire came to be associated with the quality of hot, water with wet, air with cold, and earth with dry. Aristotle, who claimed that of the basic qualities only the four combinations hot and dry, hot and wet, cold and dry, and cold and wet were possible, was the first to speak of the four temperaments. One of the few remnants of humoral theory that has survived to the 21st century. When we describe today a person's temperament as sanguine, choleric, melancholic or phlegmatic, we are in effect referring to their dominant bodily fluid or humor, blood, sanguis, yellow bile, choli, black bile, melancholy, and phlegm. The Greek physician who was the most prolific medical writer and who influenced medieval medicine more than any other was Galen of Pergamon, the 2nd century AD. So in his theories, in selecting and harmonizing elements of the humoral theory he found in Plato, Aristotle, Hippocrates and others, he created a system that was capable of describing the world as a whole and all inanimate and animate objects in it. Galen added to the system the four qualities of taste, sweet, bitter, sour slash spicy and salty. And then he aligned with the fluids, blood, yellow bile, black bile and phlegm, respectively. When it comes to temperaments, Galen lists a total of 9, 4 with one prevailing quality, 4 in which 2 qualities are balanced, and the perfect state in which all qualities are balanced. By Byzantine times, the theory of humors was accepted without questions by doctors and court alike, and even amongst the more common people. Foods had to be judged and balanced for their effects on the bodily humors, month by month, hour by hour, and according to individual constitution. You can imagine how complicated and unique and specific the diet in Byzantine times and medieval Europe could be, right? If we had to combine all this element and the individual's constitution to create a perfect diet for each person, you can imagine how much detail was going into it. Let's see some examples of some foods, how they were described. So, for example, garlic. Garlic is hot and drying to the middle of 4th degree. It is extremely favorable to those in whom thick, viscous and harsh humors have collected, as it moves and cuts them. The unpleasant quality of its juice disappears when boiled in water. Honey. Honey is hot and dry to the 2nd degree, cleansing and made up of fine particles. It has a bitterness, however, which encourages the bowels to evacuate. It becomes more diuretic, is more easily digested, and doesn't excite the bowels when it's mixed with plenty of water and left to ferment until it has formed a good head of foam. Onion. Onions are hot and dry to the 4th degree, and moist to the 3rd degree. Their substance is dense. They are diuretic, aid the production of semen and increase the appetite. But they also cause headaches and stomach problems. For this reason, some say that they are harmful to the faculty of reason. Theodore Prodromus, a prolific poet of the 12th century, in Byzantium, wrote about foods and healthy lifestyle month by month. Among his scraps of advice, we find the following. In March, sweet food and aromatic wine. In April, keep off radish. In May, no sausages. In July, no sex. Much too heating. In August, eat fruit. In September, drink milk. In October, poultry and leeks. In November, don't have any baths. In December, take generously of all foods, I say, and reject the melancholy cabbage. A very interesting piece of advice here. As we've mentioned a little while ago, pork was valued for its dietetic properties. It was regarded to be light and the most nutritious of all kinds of meat. It was also said to be the tastiest, not only due to a balanced amount of juices, but also because it contributed to keeping humoral balance inside the human body. Maybe that is why Galen claimed that eating pork in the restorative diet should start with fresh pig trotters boiled in barley soup, which was called ptisane, and then ham and other food should be introduced gradually. It was also said that cured pork was also good, eaten with lentil soup called faki, fakoptisane, a liquid meal made of lentils and groats. So this kind of food was believed to be tasty and light. As we're talking about pork and pork meat and sausages, why not let me make a suggestion here and try something unique. Go to Malbi and Greek website and order some of the amazing Greek meats they have there. They don't have many. It's some preserved meats that obviously we eat them in Greece a lot. And you can use your Malbi and Greek discount code. So if you go to malbiandgreek.com/delicious, then you can shop and get a 15% discount on everything you shop. And yeah, get yourself some organic Cretan sausages with cumin and vinegar, made to a very old and traditional recipe. You can get some siglino, which is smoked fillet of pork cooked in olive oil and preserved in it. So a very early type of confit, and a recipe that's dating back to the glory of Byzantine Empire. Or you can get yourself some pastourmas by Sari, which is a cured cold cut of beef. So this is cured with salt and then a paste of fenugreek, garlic, cumin, paprika, and many other secret spices. And then the meat is hung to dry. It has a very distinctive flavor and a spicy aroma. And this is made especially in North Greece. Sari in Malbi and Greek is the best one you can find here. And it goes very well with a glass of cold Tsipro, the unique aniseed drink from Greece. And of course, Malbi and Greek has whatever else you desire, from the best cheeses of Greece, olives and olive oil, as well as wines, the best of Greek wines. Whatever you need, Malbi and Greek has you covered. You can shop online and have the exquisite goods delivered to your doorstep across the UK, or you can visit the shop at Art 17, Apollo Business Park, Lucy Way, SE16 4ET, Bermondsey, London.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Considering all the advantages of cured pork, there's no wonder that ham was also applied as a remedy. It was one of the ingredients of the cure for arthritis, recommended by the physician from Pergamon. In his medical treatise, he wrote about treating this condition with old cheese that was first soaked in stock, zomos, as it's called in Greek, made with cured pig's leg. The cheese was ground on a mortar and put on the painful part of the body. Thanks to this mix, the patient's skin opened without any cutting, and every day new pieces of callus were flowing out. When all the cheese was used up, the patient got some fresh one, and when it became old, he applied the medicine on his own. He also taught others who had the same problem to make this ointment. This kind of treatment must have been effective in the following centuries because it was well known to Oribasius, Aetius of Amida, Alexander of Tralles, and Paul of Aegina. They almost literally quoted the story given by Galen, with one little but important compliment. According to them, it should not only be old, but also fat and savory. Moreover, the stock should be cooked with an old, fat ham. Additionally, Aetius of Amida prescribed more complex medicine for the same illness, which in addition to the meat stock from an old ham and a piece of an old goat's cheese, the medicine should contain some gum called ammoniacon, some hyssop, deer bone marrow, wax and beef suet. Almost identical ingredients were mentioned by Oribasius in his book Synopsis Ad Eustathium Filium, but this time in the chapter devoted to tumors, which must mean that a very similar medicine was used in curing different types of ailments. From this passage, we learn that instead of zomos, made from an old ham, he proposed using its fat. Another modification was adding cow or goat cheese. Moreover, the author claimed that the recipe came from Galen's medical treatises. So this medical treatment was used in the 2nd century AD. More details about this therapy were given to us by Paul of Aegina. And now, according to him, the sore part of the body should be first rubbed with some firm vinegar, next with the ammoniacon gum for many days. Then a medicine, such an ointment made from perna, should be used. In his opinion, a dressing, called polymagmaton, made from ham that probably was first chewed, was used in curing illnesses of joints, called ankylosis. Oribasius was a Greek medical writer and the personal physician of the Roman Emperor Julian the Apostate. So we're talking about the 4th century AD here, when he was writing this. In the ancient world, ham was a delicacy, served on special occasions. Freshly salted and streaky meat was valued the most. According to the sources, it was eaten raw, smoked, dry, or cooked. So all the ways, basically. Accurate instructions on how to make this dish were given in Apicius' cookbook, which we talked about many times in our podcast. Reading the recipes, we can assume that sweet hams were very popular. one of the ways to make the ham sweet, we learned from the book, is that the ham was cooked in water with a large number of figs. The use of those fruit, it was recommended in many recipes for hams in Apicius cookbook. And the phrase ut solet, which means as usually, given in one of the recipes, shows that it was a common practice. Perna, or so this cooked ham, could be put into stock flavored with bay leaves. When it was almost soft, the skin was removed, the meat was cut halfway in the middle, and honey was poured inside. Next, it was wrapped in a pastry made of flour and olive oil and baked in the oven. The dish was served hot. Cooked ham could also be served with a diced, chopped sweet bread and boiled grape must, spiced wine, or sweet bread made with grape must, mustachi. Another recipe used petasso, which was probably the pig's shoulder. This recipe is unique because in the instructions, as we've heard before, in Apicius cookbook, we don't generally have quantities. But this one mentions, the author mentions 25 figs and 2 librae of barley. All this should be cooked with meat. Next, the flesh was boned, the fat was discarded, and putting the ham into an oven and covered with honey. So partly baked petasso was served with a sauce prepared with a wine, raisin wine, which is a sweet wine, and some roux and black pepper. It was also used for soaking mustachi, which in the end was served with a roasted ham. You see here many layers of flavor and many ways of cooking and making the recipe, extremely rich. Another favorite piece of pork was lardum or laridum, which, like ham, was prepared in winter. According to Andrew Dalby, this product was the equivalent of today's bacon. It's the lower part of the pork side, or a cut of salted pork, which after frying was added to different types of dishes to impart flavor. In Rome, in the Republican period, and later on, lardum was a precious item for the stock of a larder. This delicacy was served on special occasions, for example, birthdays. Salted bacon could have been eaten raw or hot. Prepared in a special way, it became famous. A dish made from lardum and overboiled broad bean mass called pulse, which was dedicated to the Roman goddess Carna. Moreover, because salted bacon was easy to store, it became one of the basic elements of the Roman army provisions. A word haliston was used in Greek for bacon, which suggests that it was salted. Later on, Byzantine Greek language adapted two terms similar to lardum, lardos and larde. The number of references in the sources implies that it was commonly eaten in the Western Europe. We know that it was especially consumed by the Franks, and we know that by a 6th century doctor called Anthimus, who lived among them, a Byzantine doctor who was exiled from the court in Constantinople, and he went to live with the king of the Franks. So Anthimus recommended eating bacon that was properly cooked and cooled. In his opinion, this kind of a product was light and prevented constipation. But also he warned against the consumption of pork skin because it was indigestible. He also objected to eating fried bacon because this kind of heat treatment deprived it from the fat and that made the meat dry. In this form, it was harmful to the organism and contributed to the production of bad juices and caused indigestion. It seems that the author of the recipe from the Apicius book knew these above-mentioned requirements because he wrote that bacon should be cooked in water, flavored with a big amount of dill, a few drops of olive oil, and a pinch of salt. From other sources, we know that bacon could also be stuffed into calf's maw. This is the fourth and final compartment, stomach compartment in ruminants. It secretes renne and is used to make and is used for making cheese. Anyway, that was stuffed on the maw, and then the fat that was rendered from the meat was added to the broad beans and other vegetables, and dishes, and any other dishes for the sake of flavor. Probably the scraps of the meat that remained after rendering were added to meals in form of pork rinds. From the De Observatione Ciborum, we find out that lardum was eaten raw. Anthimus was especially interested in this practice, which was very common amongst the Frank people. He observed that people who ate it in this way were healthier than others. Many of these sorts of different pork dishes and meat dishes were not only considered to be healthy, but also they were used as medicine, as we've seen, sometimes for intestinal diseases, and as a way to regulate the work of the internal organs. It was believed that compresses prepared from a large slice of bacon put on different kinds of wounds stopped them running and purified them. In the opinion of the physician Oribasius, lardum helped fighting parasites present in the digestive system, but he did not describe how the treatment should proceed. We think that we can be almost sure that it was the same method as the one described in Byzantine medical sources. So according to Oribasius, Aetius of Amida, and Paul of Aegina, Halystone was an effective medicine for parasitic worms. Halystone, which is the bacon as we've seen, formed in the shape of a finger, was used rectally as a suppository. The meat should stay there as long as it was possible, and when it was taken out, it was replaced with a new portion. Aetius of Amida added that during this therapy, the rectum should also be carefully washed and an ointment should be applied. Other medical uses of bacon can be found in De Medicamentis by Marcellus Empiricus, a Gaulish doctor who lived at the turn of the 4th and 5th century. He recommended very old lardum, pounded in a mortar, as medicine for aching ears. Next, a piece of wool soaked in the juice from the mortar was placed into the ear. Such dressing should be changed, as we've seen above, once it ran its course. The same authority wrote that in order to remove objects that got stuck in the patient's body, a ligature made from cooked fat bacon should be prepared. The curing properties of bacon must also have been known in ancient Rome, and some of them they're mentioned by Pliny the Elder in his Historia Naturalis. In order to stop spitting blood, a mixture made from 3 egg yolks, 3 ounces of old lardum, honey, and 3 cups of old wine was used. A portion of the mass the size of a hazelnut should be taken orally in water. A dressing prepared from cooked bacon, which was wrapped around the limb, was used for treating fractures. According to the author, bacon was also an efficient antidote for mercury poisoning. Incredible, isn't it? The insane amount of different uses, medical uses of bacon. So yeah, we've seen from ancient Rome to Greece and Byzantine times. In the Byzantine period, Paphlagonia in the northeast Asia Minor was a famous place for cured pork meats, and one of which was called Gondi. Similarly, other cured meats mentioned in the late Byzantine period, such as Siglinon and Paspalia, used pork, which was stewed and stored in large jars in the resulting liquid, something like a prototype of confit. The pork was preserved in its own liquids and oils and fat. This version of meat, paspalas, probably takes its name from paspalizo, to sprinkle, which suggests the cure was consistent of some sprinkle of flour and salt. There was also preparations made using the offal of the pig and blood, and these were known as gathia or emalea or ematias, which is something like our modern black puddings, which were very popular with the Byzantines. But there's a conflict here with the Jewish and the Christian prohibitions that this shouldn't be consumed. But On the contrary, they were very, very popular, very widely consumed. And apparently this caused a number of cases of food poisoning in the 9th century. And that led the Emperor Leo VII on the late 9th century to ban the consumption of blood sausages, blood puddings. So Leo's ban is in fact thought to be the first case worldwide of adopting special protective measures against botulism in sausages. And this is it. This is today's episode. All about the curious use of pork and meat as treatments for all sorts of diseases. The ancient world was fascinating and weird in equal measures. And thank you for listening to this podcast. Remember to subscribe and get your podcast from Acast, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and wherever else you get your podcast from. And if you want to get the podcast early and ad-free, become a patron on Patreon. Subscribe for more surprises in the form of articles, writings, recipes, and a new feature, which is going to be videos, ancient recipe videos. I've been Thomas Dinas, and this was the Delicious Legacy podcast. Have a lovely week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.